Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Welcome to Real Recovery, where we're coming at you tonight with energy and enthusiasm.
That's Bill Arnold, a new voice.
Yeah, it's a new fake voice. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio and across the way where recreation and leisure is his only skill set, George P. Fraser. Hello, George.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's kind of true, isn't it?
Working at it, yeah.
Yep, you're also a licensed chemical dependency counselor.
Got that going for me.
Which I think you got online from some
weird
little school.
Yeah, it still works.
Legit. But anyway, we have a really fun show tonight. And if you are a regular listener, then you're probably my mother. All others, welcome to the bigger-than-usual show tonight. We're going to unleash our full potential tonight, George.
Well, nice stiff on Alex.
I'm getting Alex.
Okay.
I'm just trying to say we're going to unleash our full potential, which will probably land us in the dead center of mediocrity, because that's what we shoot for.
Well, that's what we shoot for.
Alex, how are you?
Great.
Yeah, you see? Yeah. I knew what his answer was going to be. Because he is consistent.
Good to see you, Alex.
You too.
Thank you.
So, George, we have got Rick Kua tonight with us. Rick is a musician who I think has recorded 12 or 13 of his own CDs. He does incredibly powerful ministry music, and he's got quite a history of being in the music business for over 25 or 30 years. He at one point was in the rock band The Outlaws, which he joined in 1980 for, I think, 3 years. And then he had to get out, because I think lifestyle was killing him. And we're going to hear his story, which is a powerful story of redemption. We're going to bring him on in just a bit. He comes to us on the studio line from Nashville. I believe somewhere in Nashville.
But they're not going to get 12 inches of snow tomorrow.
No, they revised it from 5 to 9, George, so I think we're going to not get 12.
Great, 9's super.
That's not the attitude I was looking for tonight. I was saying energy and enthusiasm.
Great. 9 inches tomorrow. I can't wait. How's that?
I love when you manufacture your fake enthusiasm.
Fake everything. Yeah.
George, let's talk a little bit tonight, as we always do on Real Recovery. If you're a new listener to the show, George, give them a little
review. Let's start this up right. What Real Recovery is about is we believe all Christians are in recovery. Since we've met the Lord, our behavior and our lives should have totally changed. And we're in the process of becoming more Christ-like. If you have a drug or alcohol problem, like I did, and you're in recovery and you've stopped a behavior, congratulations. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're still in idolatry. Addiction really is idolatry. It's a false god, and we have God substitutes, money, sex, gambling, drugs. And if you've stopped those, great. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're still leaving a lot on the table, and you don't have life. You don't have the abundant life. And that's what we want to have. We do a step every week out of the 12-step program, Bill. Tonight we're on step 4 where we make
Can I add something to what you just said? Because it was
certainly
really well said. And
I've been practicing in the car.
Yeah. The part of my brain that listens to the words and sentences you say usually doesn't work during the show. But tonight it did. And, the question is, you've got an idea about God and you try to fit God into your existing beliefs. Well, whoever that God is never going to change your life.
Well, it's the same problem, I think, and well thought out, Bill, is that we got in here because we were worshiping ourselves, and if it's a god of my own creation, that's
right.
Still going on.
Right. So did God create you, or did you create him? Because if you created him, you have no God.
Correct.
All right.
The idolatry that we're talking about. I talked with somebody
yesterday. That's the first commandment?
Yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's
includes
the reason,
us.
That's the reason we do the show.
Right there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to step 4.
Well, step 4 is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We look at our resentments, our fears, our sex conduct. Where have I been selfish? Where do I have resentments? These block me from God. But I want to raise the bar a little bit tonight. I know a lot of people listen to our show that are in recovery, 12-step programs. Great, they do this step, then they go to 5. And I want to look at how are we stacking up on the Ten Commandments? That's God's accountability sheet. How are we doing on those? And we break all of those. What I want to get to is it is appointed once the man to die, then the judgment, and there's only one way to get your sins forgiven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said in John 3, you must be born again. And in recovery groups, we don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody this weekend who said they don't go to church on Sunday. They go to a recovery group, and I said to them, great, why worship God when you can worship yourself? And they thought I was joking, and I'm not.
This is why you don't have a lot of friends.
Right.
Yeah.
I have you because I buy you dinner every Sunday night.
That's the only reason.
Good.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's really important for us to realize we do fall short. It is appointed once to die. There is only one Savior, Acts 4:12, by no other name are you saved. That's the whole important thing. God allowed you to go your own way and have your addiction so you would get the gift of desperation where you would cry out and say, I give up, help me. But that help can only come from Jesus, Bill. We don't talk about that enough, and tonight I wanted to do that.
I want to say to our listeners, if you are in the middle of an addiction, and you probably at some level are struggling with something, even if it's eating or whatever, right?
Sure.
So the strength that you can come with tonight is your desperation and your brokenness, your desperation to want to change and your brokenness that says, God, I can't do it, but you can.
That's great.
Well, I did rehearse that.
We run away from God when we should run to him.
He is our only place, our only refuge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the only peace you'll find. And when you do get into recovery and when you do get saved, you realize that this doesn't run out. We don't need to get more. We want to spend more time with Jesus. We want to be in the Word. We want to pray. We want to be around people that are helping other people. But you can't give away what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get excited when we look at our inventory of, yes, we do fall short. What are you going to do about it? You got to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So, well said, George. I think step four is a great step. But again, everything points us to the Savior, and everything points us to our need to repent of sin.
Sure.
And let's focus always on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Amen. You said last week, Bill, that you know the first three steps are, I can't do it, he can do it, I'm going to let him do
mm-hmm.
it. And now we're going to reinforce that tonight by really taking a picture of where we are. What are the causes and conditions? Why am I so selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid? Well, that's my humanity.
Well, it's because you were raised by feral wolves. I went on one of those genealogy websites and looked at your name, and I traced you back to feral wolves.
I had good-looking parents, though.
They were good-looking wolves.
You know, yeah. Nice teeth.
They had really shiny teeth. Yeah, you've got a good point there. So, should we move on from step four?
No, let's talk about my family, the wolves, for a while. Yeah. But you got to do it. And this is hard work. Really looking at ourselves. In the book of James, it says we're like a man who looks in the mirror and then forgets what he looks like immediately. If you don't do what the word says, I need to look at how much trouble I'm in. There's no way out of this on my own.
Right.
Only through Jesus.
Right. And people, and George, talk about just for a second your response to the idea that God is enough. God is always enough. He's always going to be enough. But most people in addiction, they just can't put their arms around that.
Well, we always feel like we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
We have to try harder. I don't know about your dad, but my dad always said, you've got to hustle, George. You've got to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not. I'm not the best. You know, why do I have to be better than the other guy? I'm not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And with Jesus, it's you're not good unless you have me.
Yeah, then your dad would howl.
He did.
Because of the wolf.
You know, if he was here, he'd bite you, Arnold.
I'm sure he would.
Hard.
And I'm sure I'd have to go right to the doctor and get a tetanus shot of some kind.
Yeah. But it is. We think we have to do something. That's why the unconditional love thing is so hard. God really loves me after all my sin? How could he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't love me.
Yeah.
Of course, that's never been a problem for me. Actually, it's just the opposite. I don't
you
need
do
to go to
yourself.
Al-Anon. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, George, I love when we always engage guests that are passionate about their relationship with Christ, that have had lots of experience, brokenness. They know how to tell a story. They know how to talk about the redemption in their lives. And tonight, I tell you, we have fantastic guest with us tonight from Nashville. His name is Rick Kua. He's a musician, an artist. He's a pastor right now at a church where he does pastoral care. And I did a lot of prison ministry with him back in the 90s. And I think, I don't know how many prisons we did together, but we did it for 10 years off and on. And I would always notice that all the platform guests would get up and speak to the prisoners. And then Rick would get up and he'd sing some songs and he would start talking to these people, to the inmates. And I would watch him. I would watch the inmates completely melt because of his compassion and his love. He's got the hard skills, which is talent, mm-hmm. and he's got the soft skills, which is kindness, gentleness, humor, and all that stuff. And I would sit in the back and listen to him, and I'd watch the people respond, and I thought, that's what I want to do more of. That's what I want to be like.
Still do want to be like that, don't you?
I still do want to be like that. So welcome to the program, Rick.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Alex, George, it's wonderful to be with you tonight. And, wow, I think that was an introduction beyond what I deserve, but thank you
no,
for
it's
it.
No, it's actually really true because, we did learn a lot from each other, and all the platform guests would bring their own specific gifts and talents to the table, and you had such a deft touch with the inmates. They felt so loved by you. And it wasn't manufactured. It was real.
Well, praise
so
God.
I would always fake it. Like, I love you guys. You know, it always sounds so fake.
Know.
And you would say,
no,
and they would believe you.
Well, we were also moved to be able to do that and be in a place with guys that, you know, many of them, if it wasn't for Jesus, I mean, it would be a hopeless situation. But to know that, the guys that knew the Lord were thriving as best as they could, knowing there's still a purpose until they get out, or if some of them were in forever, they just were going to make the most of their life because of Jesus, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then for us to be able to give some kind of message of salvation mm-hmm. to whatever we were allowed to do, we knew that the difference that Jesus makes on the outside is it's ridiculously wonderful. And in prison, oh my gosh, without Christ, I don't know how anybody could.
Well, me neither. We're going to talk to Rick Kuda tonight. We're going to have a lot of conversation coming up. We're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, more of Real Recovery with Bill, George, Alex. That's the team. We're like Three Stooges. Yeah, we know nothing about radio. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex in the studio tonight. We are here with limited adult supervision, which is kind of the way we like it. Sunday nights at 5. It's a happy hour. It's the happiest hour on radio, George.
It is.
And tonight we have Rick Kuda on the studio line from Nashville. And Rick, we're dying to start talking about your story now. And let us have it.
Yeah, well, let me see. I'll kind of give you the cliff notes along the way, and if you want a little more detail, you just chime in.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm originally from Syracuse, New York. My dad was a guitar player, musician. All of my life growing up, there was always music in the house, and I became a musician as well, and started playing a bunch of band instruments, you know, trumpet and clarinet, even a little piano, accordion, guitar when the Beatles came around, and then settled on bass when we wound up having three guitar players and a drummer in the band, and nobody had a bass, so I thought I'd start playing bass on the lower strings of the guitar, you know. So music was always a big deal for me. And I just decided I wanted to go into it as a professional and be as busy at music as I can, maybe so I wouldn't have to finish college or get a real job, you know, mm-hmm. that type of motivation.
Oh, yeah.
And so music was always there. And I joined, other than a lot of local bands, I joined a nationally known group called the Outlaws in 1980. And it was a time in my life where I had been newly saved. I got saved in 77 and still kind of finding my sea legs with my walk with the Lord. And the Outlaws was a point where I had to make a decision. I was either going to hold the line and really be completely sold out for the Lord, or I was going to wind up getting in my mess again. And by God's grace, not without struggle, not without, you know, having to really call upon him, I kind of stood the course and wound up staying in the Outlaws for 3.5 years and then realizing that if I had 90 minutes with an audience, I wanted it to be 90 minutes of redemption, not just entertainment. Sure, there was fun. It's rock and roll. We had a great time. But, man, the message had to be redemption all the way through. We did a lot of invitations to us. And we were so blessed to see people come to Christ for the first time and many come back to him. So it was awesome. And I guess musically I've been doing that ever since, whether it's with my own band, my own music, a bunch of different guys that I love and play with now and then, and now with the latest incarnation that I've got called Blues Council. So, and the interesting thing about that band, it's blues rock and a little bit of Latin. There's six of us in the band, and it's Blues Council, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. So it's more about if you've got the blues, this music will be therapy for your soul. It's more about that than it's just blues all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been about the gospel through the arts, using music as a delivery vehicle for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's been a joy to do it. I'm still out there doing it. I'm on staff at our church here in Leaper's Fork, which is Franklin, Tennessee, which is about a half hour from Nashville. And loving being on staff as a pastor and being able to keep my guitar strapped on and continue to write songs and articles and magazines and different things that just where whatever God puts in my heart, I can use it for his purposes.
So what was the life like on the road, and how much opportunity did you have back in your outlaw days to have influence for Christ, and how difficult was just being in that environment?
You know, it was, here's where I was fortunate. When I joined this band, these guys had sown a lot of their wild oats earlier. They were all in their 30s, you know, early to mid 30s, and like I was. And they, you know, they had partied for a while. They were rock and rollers, but by the time I got there, they settled down a bit, which was really good for me. There's temptation out there. I'm not going to kid you. There are people out there, and their intention is to party. And, you know, these people come to see the band at these concerts, and many times, just, you know, beautiful people, just really searching. And, you know, all they know is we're going to go have a good time tonight, you know. But what do they want? They want the same thing we want. They want love. They want acceptance. They want to know that they fit in. You know, it's all good stuff. But the party stuff, the drugs and alcohol and, you know, sexual things, all of that is part of the whole picture. And the challenge for a rock and roll band that's got some notoriety is people show up. And they might go to one big concert every couple of months, and they come loaded for bear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bands like the Outlaws and many others, we're there every night.
Right.
You know, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Cleveland. I mean, we're on tour one city after another. So these guys can go recover for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to sleep if we were going to be involved in that lifestyle. Wake up the next day and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got that addictive gene, it's, and everything is free, it's like very hard to resist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough. It's hard.
How did you deal with your addictive element to your addictive gene?
You know, for me, I can remember vividly. I got to a point. This is prior to the Outlaws. I got to a point where, especially, you know, we all smoked pot in those days. I mean, it was just, you know, heck, they're legalizing it now, which is absolutely crazy as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, we grew up hippies. We were hippies in the 60s. So we would do that kind of light stuff. And then, you know, different things would come around. And I can remember with cocaine in particular, that was the thing that really got me to this, to the point I'm about to explain. Whenever somebody would put it out on the table and throw a bunch of lines down, I would be the first one over because it was really, it was nice. You know, it made you feel good. It made you think you can conquer the world. It was not a hangover drug. But I realized, and I was at a party once, and I remember that when the coke came out, I would always want to be the first one there. And it was at that very point, that very night, I said, I can't do this ever again, ever again. I'm not going to do it tonight. I can never do it again, because I knew I was right on that line of crossing over into addiction. Whatever was in me that reacted to that, I wanted to put that thing not only back to sleep, I wanted to get it, I wanted it out of my being, because I didn't want to be controlled by anything. So that is a miracle. That's the grace of God. And that was the Holy Spirit giving me discernment to say, you can't do this anymore. You have to just, you can't do it anymore.
And that was it.
That was it. That was the end of it for me.
That is a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
That is a miracle.
We don't hear the miracle stories very often.
Well, you know what? It truly is, guys, because, you know, in recovery, in our Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian-based 12-steps program at our church, a lot of the guys will give their testimony, and they'll basically, many of them may say, you know, I hear all the time about somebody that went to the altar and got totally delivered from drugs, and I am thrilled for them, and I wish that had been me, but so far it's one day at a time. And I think not that God does do it and can do it, but however it happens, you got to fight the good fight. And it's, to me, it's the difference between deliverance and winning the battle one day at a time. However God's going to do it, however it happens, you know, deliverance is awesome. Winning the battle one day at a time, that's pretty awesome, too.
I love that, Rick. We talk a lot, and I'm one of these guys that's daily delivered. I've seen a lot of people that were delivered, and Bill has, too, that claimed delivery and then got undelivered real quick. And I'm not denying the miracle here at all. It's great. We've got a good friend who's been on the show named Reverend Johnny Hunter that the same thing happened to. But it is a true miracle, and it's neat to hear that.
It's been awesome. Listen, there's other things in my life. I know that it's more of a battle, a daily victory. You know what I'm saying? So it just so happened for me that with that particular drug issue, by God's grace, something amazing happened. Well, but you know what? I'm also convinced that, all right, that was a great thing, but I have to get up every morning and call on the Lord and work out my salvation with fear and trembling and not be tempted by one sin or the other, because it's all the same in God's eyes. It might be a different medium that you're going to fall prey to, you know? So I have to stay on target, so to speak.
Rick, how do you do that? Or, George, did you have a question?
I just you further want to go on the miracle thing here, Bill. If I'm playing in a nationally known rock band,
which is never going to happen.
And I know it. And I've got free cocaine.
Yeah. You're gone.
I'm dead.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
Okay. You're dead.
I was almost dead, and I had to pay for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm just seeing this as such a miracle of God and the Holy Spirit intervening here that I don't need to do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was huge. The thing is, you know, the word says we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's my testimony when it comes to drugs. by God's grace. That is my testimony, and I am happy to share it to give people hope, but also at the same time to say, listen, however God's going to do it with you is a miracle in and of itself. So just because I never looked back, there's a lot of people that win that battle, like we're saying, day after day, and they're gonna not only lead a great life for Jesus, but be an example to others. We've got people that come to our group, and they come week after week. And then the people that, you know, the language that I hear a lot in Celebrate Recovery is, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I struggle with whatever, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear it this way. I struggle with alcohol, or I'm struggling with alcohol, or I've struggled, past tense. And now these people who are a little bit ahead of that, what happens is they keep their sobriety by being there involved in helping others. You know, so it's every shape, size, color, version of believer that's just wants to be well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a huge fan of the AA program. I have many, many friends, family and friends that are still in the program doing well. I think it's an awesome program. The Celebrate Recovery for us made sense just because it's there's no question about the higher power piece, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, anything that would keep a man or a woman sober and, you know, active in society and a good husband and a good wife and a good father or mother looking after their kids, whatever it is, listen, I applaud it all.
Yeah, me too. Man needs a savior. Thankfully, there's one available, and that's Jesus.
That's right.
So we're going to take a very short break. We have two more segments coming up with Rick Kua. Thanks for being with us tonight. It'll be snowy in the morning, so enjoy.
I'm looking forward to that.
Really? You're weird.
I'm lying.
You're weird.
You're not lying.
Maybe you wonder there, George.
Come, you moved. I mean, normally I don't get to look at you during the show. That changed what I was going to say.
George, we have one life to live and one life to die, don't we? And so it's better if you're living to live abundant life that John
10:10
talks about. We're just simply not wired to resist temptation. If we try to do it on our own, we're going to get into a Bermuda Triangle of pain. I don't even know what that means.
Sounded good, though.
It did sound good. We're talking to Rick Kua tonight. Rick is a very talented musician who has made his living playing music. And now he does lots of ministry. He's got 12 or 13 of his own CDs. Rick, what's your web address? Is it rickkua.com?
It's rickkua, rickkua.com. Yep.
We'll put that on our website for those who would be interested.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the website. And, George, right before we went to break, you were talking to Rick about the miracles.
Yes.
Did you have more on that?
It's just astounding to me that would be like the fantasy job when I was using to
right.
go, hey, you know, this isn't helping me. I'm not going to do it anymore.
That is really, an amazing miracle. I will agree.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And what I really liked is how he said it is, you know, that was my experience. It might not be your experience that there's different ways people recover. Now he's working with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, you know, with Celebrate Recovery, which I love because we don't have a higher power. We have the highest power. That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yet he talked about he has friends that use other 12-step programs. It just sounds, Rick, you just sound like a great guy to me, and I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Well, you know, there are times where I try and be real sensitive to everybody, and there's times where, man, what I don't want to have happen is have something that was miraculous, that was wonderful, that happened to me, be a discouragement for somebody else. And that's why I really lean heavily on the fact of, listen, whether you're delivered or you're winning the battle day by day, it's beautiful. And God has a reason for all this stuff. For me, I just knew if I didn't walk away, I was going to go deep into addiction. I couldn't do it. There was something in me that scared me and didn't allow me to do it. So who knows? I'm grateful, and I celebrate everybody, no matter how they work their recovery, whatever they're doing. You know, that's, man, just work it. Get in there and figure it out and work it.
I go back to that fateful moment at the table when you said, "I can't do this." And I think of that as sacred ground you were on, because I would love to know what was going on in the invisible world, because there was a battle for your life. And now I think of the blessing that you've been to your wife, that you've been married for how long?
This winter it'll be 45 years.
So 45 years of marriage, and I think of the testimony that speaks, the way in which you two have been such instrumental in leading and guiding and coaching and encouraging people in their faith journey, that all could have been destroyed that one day.
Yeah.
And it all could have gone south.
Yeah, it definitely could have. And listen, I want to be dead honest with you. I got my box of regrets, like everybody else. Things as a younger man that I did, mistakes that I made that I wish I could go back and turn around, indiscretions, whatever it is. I guess when I came to this, I couldn't drop one more regret in that box. Mm-hmm. I just said, that's it. I can't do it. I have got to start turning it around and leaving a legacy that looks different than just decades of error. And believe me, I make mistakes every day, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's those big things that hurt you and hurt others. I just, you know, we all got our own timing in Christ, and I trust him. And I want to be encouraged by others. I don't want to let others' advancements discourage me, and I won't do it. I will just look at others to motivate me to do the best I can, not to try and stack myself up against this guy or that guy, but to say, hey, I'm encouraged, inspired, and motivated by what God has done in your life, and I pray that same stuff for me. And just, you know, do it that way, because I don't want to give the enemy a foothold or something to hang on to and worm his way in and slow me down. I don't want to miss one thing. I get up every day saying, God, don't let me miss one thing that you have for me today, one person that I need to talk with, even that person where I'm just hedging a little, but I just feel like I just need to go up and encourage him or say something kind, and almost to the point where, you know, the enemy might say, he's going to think you're nuts. What are you doing? And I just want to do it anyway, not like a bull in a china closet or insensitive or like a weirdo, none of that. But sometimes God, it's amazing when we step out in faith and say things to somebody from our heart, how well received those times are by the other person. I don't want to miss a thing, man. And I know if I miss it, God's going to raise somebody else up, and thank God for that. But I don't want it to be somebody else if it's supposed to be me, you know.
Well, the reason, Bill, I think we want to be obedient to God, one of the reasons, not just because we love him and he's done so much for us, is there are some moments that change history for us and other people, and here was one. We knew seven guys last year, Rick, that didn't say no to a chance to use, and they died that night. And we look at the fruit that God has produced in your life because you stopped. And you, there's no way you could have known back then what a big deal that was. That was just the decision I'm going to do. And, Bill, we're not aware in God's economy how big the consequences or fruit production can be.
Well, I love what Rick was saying about just not wanting to miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
When you, out of the kindness of your heart, offer something to someone, because the level of woundedness that people have is pretty ridiculous. I often like quoting Mike Tyson, who says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. There's a lot of people walking around who have been punched in the mouth. A friend of me sent a line today that said, some people are so poor, all they have is money. And they're walking around, too, and they might appear to be successful, but they're as hurting as the next person.
Yeah.
Everyone's battling with some, they're medicating themselves in some way, aren't they?
Yep. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And I think the,
you know, God,
go ahead, Rick.
No, I was just going to say, God's got, he's got great stuff for us, you know, and we just got to stay dialed in. And, you know, the word is so well balanced that sometimes I can get real anxious about it, but then I remember, oh no, the word says be anxious for nothing, you know? And sometimes I can feel condemned because I missed something. And it's like, wait a minute, no, therefore now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, it's just the balance of it all. And it is a balance, I'm telling you. But I think the more we do what we do for God, I think, I hope the better we get at it, you know, never to completely arrive because we're not Jesus, but I think we get better at it, you know, in the same way that, you know, if I keep working my bass, you know, I'll get better at it or write better songs or be more, you know, sensitive to the needs of others, you know, instead of just my own needs. It's just all of that stuff.
Okay, can we roll back here, guys, for a little bit? So the lights are on the table. I'm not going to do one last one for the Gipper. I'm walking away. What happened in your life after that?
After that, what I noticed was God started opening a way for me to talk to more people about things that they were facing. You know, you had said earlier, just for example, what was it like being in the Outlaws in those days? You know, what happened out there? And yeah, there was temptation. First of all, I got to tell you, those guys were family, man. They are family. They're the, a couple of them are in heaven now, but I got a call from Freddie Salem just the other day. He was at the Nashville airport passing through, you know, and they're the absolute best. But what I found happening is that when people would have a little bit of an issue or a struggle or something, they wound up knocking on my door. And I loved that. And I think it's because they knew that I was doing my best to live for Jesus. I mean, there was no mistake about it. This wasn't a secret. I wasn't a closet Christian. I mean, I was, after a year and a half in the Outlaws, I made my first Christian record. I mean, if I could say I came out, you know, I came out as a sold out believer. And I think because I was able to walk away from that table that night, God made a way for me to encourage and minister to others who really resembled me prior to me making my decision not to go there anymore. So it was great, man. I mean, God, and you know, the word also says to whom much is given, much is required. So I feel I was given a beautiful gift from the Lord. And because of that, the requirement kind of went up a little. But that's not a bad thing. You know, the word tells us his burden is light and his yoke is easy. So if you're in Christ, this is not, it's not torture. I'm telling you, if you follow and do what he's telling you to do, it's, you feel very fulfilled being there. And the other thing, guys, we're no better than anyone. We're just born again. We just have the Lord. We found Jesus. We're richer because of that. But we're still men that, and women that, you know, work it out every day, try and, you know, have better relationships with our families, spouses, friends, at work. You know, we're figuring it out day by day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a day at the beach, but with Jesus, you know, we've got what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Rick, I never say I'm better than George, but I do think it.
Mm.
So we're going to
Yes.
Take a very short break on
Jesus
that.
Jesus loves Bill. He kind of likes me.
Yeah, so. He likes George as a friend. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have one more segment coming up with Rick Kua. Thanks for joining us tonight on Real Recovery. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us tonight. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex on the board. We're talking to Rick Kua tonight, a rock and roller and also a Christian artist with lots of years with a bass strapped around his body, singing songs of redemption, which is very cool. Rick, right before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, George and I at the break were talking about your comment about, you know, come to me, all of you who are tired, and I'll give you rest. You know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Satan is never going to want you to think that that's true. He's going to want to say, it's just not worth the effort. It's absolutely not worth the effort. And he's going to want to discourage. And that's a gigantic spiritual battle that goes on in everyone's life, more or less.
That's right. Absolutely. There's always a battle. And we just have to set our mind on Christ. Sometimes I'll say a prayer, and what I'll say in that prayer is, Lord, I bind your mind to mine, because I want his mind on all things. And it's just staying the course. I mean, listen, do I have it figured out? No. But do I work on it every day? Yes. You know, and that's the thing. We just got to get up and want more of him. His Holy Spirit, I want a continual filling of his Holy Spirit. Why? So I can speak in tongues? Well, really, the real reason I want it is for wisdom and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And to know and to call things to mind and call scriptures to mind and know what to say to somebody that's hurting, you know?
Yeah, that's one of your gifts. That I know for a fact, because I've seen you do it over and over again, and you've got an incredible capacity for doing that.
You know, Rick, I got a question for you here, a little bit off target, but music is so powerful as a layman. You know, the first 10 years I was sober, I couldn't hear the Cars without wanting to do coke. Why is music so powerful, either spiritually or detrimentally?
Yeah, music does something that nothing else does. It goes straight to your heart. It just does it. It's different, you know, and it's really, you know, in the same way that a cigarette is a delivery vehicle for nicotine, music is a delivery vehicle for the message that you're trying to convey within that song. And it's potent. And sometimes if there was music in our past, say, in other words, we've all probably known people who have gotten saved and went out and burned their records. They just couldn't do it anymore, or put the guitar away, or whatever it was. Well, for most of those people, that was for a season. For some, maybe it was forever. But the deal is that with some of us, there are triggers that were still very alive in our lives. And if we knew that we weren't able to fight that and to look the other way when those or not get ourselves triggered, then we had to act upon things. Just like you said, mm-hmm. with the Cars, you know, something happened. It reminded you. It's like smells. I smell every time I smell wood burning in the fall or whatever. It reminds me of my grandpa burning wood at the end of the out just at the foot of the lake at our camp. I mean, it's fond memories. But then there's other memories. I know people that smell patchouli and they get all triggered about drugs. I mean, it's like, what was going on? What were you listening to when you were in that place? You know, if something really bad happened to you and you associate something with it, whether it was the meal you had, the smells, the songs you were listening to, that sweater that you had on, man, for some, that's overwhelming. For other people, they don't make that connection. But a lot of times you do. Rick, music's a powerful tool.
Yeah, Rick, comment on what fires together wires together.
Say that again. What now?
What fires together wires together.
Yeah. That's good.
I think that's kind of what you were just elaborating on, because we're going to have associations to certain things, and that could cause all kinds of trigger situations and problems. And
yeah.
And there, you have to do a little prayer warfare against some of those, I would imagine.
Yes.
If they're a real struggle for you.
Yeah, and the other thing is the only one that's going to know what you can do or what you can't do is you. Somebody else can't say, oh, that's going to trigger you. You don't want to listen to that Led Zeppelin song. Well, they don't know that, you know, but you will know it. And that's why I was saying that sometimes those triggers are very alive and active on the front of your salvation and your conversion. But over time, no. I mean, like for me, for whatever crazy reason, I can listen to music and not go into a bad place, you know. But I don't know if it was always like that, you know. I mean, it's just, it's crazy the things we do. I can remember when I first got saved, I'd go back home to Syracuse, and, you know, I'd go in the bar with my buddies to see them play music, and they'd all come to the bar afterwards. Hey, Rick, welcome home, da-da-da-da-da. And they're all going to want to do shots, you know. And this is so goofy, but I actually, because I wanted to engage, but I was too convicted to, you know, sit at the bar slamming shots back when I was a believer. So I had the bartender pour me water, shots of water, just so I could go through the motion. And afterwards I thought, that was kind of dumb. But you know, the whole point is I was trying to figure it out. You know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have it all sorted. I knew that I was convicted. I knew that I loved my buddies and I wanted to be kind of in solidarity with them. You know, I mean, I was not shy about telling them about the Lord. I didn't want to, I for some reason felt that if I didn't kind of engage a little, they'd think I was so weird that they would want nothing to do with Jesus. You know, I didn't have a clue. I was just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we're all works in progress, aren't we?
I don't think that's weird at all.
I don't either.
He's immersing himself with the guys. I mean, if you start snorting baking soda, that's a little weird. But drinking water,
right.
No, I think that's good.
Shooting water.
Yeah, shooting water. Yeah. Shooting
water.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had so many, I almost wet the bed that night. But that's another story. Oh, my gosh. Hey, guys, you know what's beautiful? Man, we're all made of the same stuff. We're all humans. We're all God's creation, and we're just on this planet saying, "Okay, Lord, what's my purpose? Where do you need me? What am I supposed to do?" And the big thing is that conversion moment when now you're in Christ and He's in you. But even after you get saved, it's the rest of your life is sorting it out, you know, as we go. What's next, God? I don't want to miss it. Not, as I said earlier, not that we want to be anxious, you know, but we want to be able to drink in the Word of God, have our ear tuned into the Holy Spirit, and be able to lay our head on the pillow at night saying, "That was a good day, Lord. Give me another good one tomorrow."
That's a lot of self-awareness, Rick, that you had at a pretty young age. And I think one of the things I'm going to focus on in the morning when I get up is asking God to help me not miss any opportunity He might have for me. Because
Amen.
Sometimes I allow myself to get way too distracted and I miss stuff because I'm just not paying attention. And stuff out of context just passes by me and I have to pay attention to my context.
Yeah, me too. Every day. Every day. That's my prayer.
Yeah. Well, Rick, for those of you who want to look Rick up on the web tonight, rickcua.com, you can hear more about Rick's music and hear some of his story. And I'm excited that you've got a Celebrate Recovery group going at your church. It gives people a chance to just be raw and honest and hear about God's grace and deal with their struggle with their addiction. So that's I commend you.
And next time, if you'll come back on the show, I'd like to talk some more about that. We could have done a three-hour show tonight, Bill.
Really?
Well, I could have with Rick.
I'm too hungry. I
Are
eat.
You?
Yeah.
Alex is buying dinner tonight.
No, he's not. He's going to dinner, but you're buying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, listen, just know I would be thrilled to be on the show with you men anytime. This was a beautiful reconnection for Bill and myself, and awesome to meet you, Alex, and George as well. And just one more thing, if I may, if the folks are Facebookers and they want to check out Blues Council, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, go like our page, and we can keep connected with you that way as well.
Perfect. We're out of time. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight, Rick. And thanks for all the listeners. Get ready to get the shovels out in the morning. Have a great night. God bless.
Bless you.